Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to share your heart with us through by your Holy Spirit. We ask you to sprinkle the blood of Jesus Christ upon our minds and upon our hearts. And Lord, that the perception that we have of what I'm about to say, Lord, will be according to what you want to say. Guide my voice, guide my thoughts. Lord, that I will bring just what you ask me to share with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This morning, I just wanted to share with you a word of encouragement. The title of my message is Our First Calling as Believers. And you know, I was thinking about sometimes over time, as you grow in your Christian walk, sometimes your basics can get off. It happens to everybody. I mean, I was reading about John the Baptist getting discouraged about his calling and wondering, was Jesus the one or not? And yet he knew who Jesus was. But as we walk in our Christian walk, over time, our basics can go off. And I was watching a program where golfers go to an instructor, professional golfers, to see why their game is off. Because they play so many tournaments, so they go to the golf pro, and he basically, what he does, he says, how do you hold your club? And you say, wait a minute, I'm not a beginner here, but it goes back to basics. And what God was trying to say to me as well, he says, sometimes you can get off. And I want you to go back to basics. I want you to go back to find out, what is your calling? Why did I call you as a believer? After you came to Christ, you started doing things for God. You started interacting with other Christians. You started listening to messages. And after a while, you need to process all this. And basically, you have to go back to basics. So this morning, if we don't go back to the basic, it blocks us from anything we're going to do moving forward. And that's what the Holy Spirit was telling me. He says, I want you to go back, revisit the Gospels, revisit the epistles. All the epistles to the churches are written because the churches were getting off the basics. In the book of Revelation, the same thing. It was an admonition to say, you lost your first love, you lost your fire, all the different messages that Jesus had. He always wants to bring us back to basic. So there's one ingredient that we will find out today that is causing our game to go off, or our life to go off. And let's turn to Mark chapter 3, and starting in verse 13. Mark 13, chapter 3, verse 13. And let's read what happened when Jesus recruited his disciples. He said, and he went up on the mountain and called to him those with whom he desired. And they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. So they might be with him. The first calling on our lives is to learn to be with him. There's a lot of emphasis today on relationship. But what Jesus is talking about is not relationship. That has to happen, obviously, to connect with Jesus. But once, now that we are in relationship, he's basically saying, I want you to be with me. He says in verse 14, so that they might, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. The first calling, and our calling as believers, is to be with Jesus. And if you don't do that, everything out of that will be off. Just like the golfer, all the basics are off. It's not about relationship. We are already in relationship with Jesus. But he's saying what you're missing here is the calling of being in fellowship with me. There's a difference between relationship and fellowship. The relationship comes first to establish the connection, but after that, it's important to have fellowship. Now, so that's in Mark's account. And we think, well, maybe that's for the disciples. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. The Apostle Paul says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into what? Into fellowship. Of the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. God is calling us into fellowship. It's very unusual. You think I have to be the one who would want to have fellowship with God. God is saying, I'm calling you. When I saved you, now I want you to spend the time with me. And that is where your game is off. You go out and want to do things for me, but you haven't spent the time with me. So everything that you're doing as a result of not being with me is off. You get discouraged. You say, well, what's happening? I'm not getting results. And God says, let's go back to basics. And Jesus always did that when he brought his disciples to the mountain. When they came back from preaching, he says, let's get away and come and tell me. Let's be together. Let's have fellowship and tell me how did it go. He wasn't really interested in the results. He was saying to them, it's important to spend that time with God, with him, and so that he might send them out. So it wasn't about, a first calling is not to witness, a first calling is not to talk, not to visit, not to preach. The first calling is to have fellowship and to be with Jesus. Very important. And when I was preparing this, the Holy Spirit was explaining to me. He says, yeah, you've been doing all kinds of things and reading and he says, going here and there. But I want you to spend the time with me so I can tell you what to do next. Sometimes we do next what we think is the right thing to do instead of saying it came as a result of me sitting in the presence of God and saying, God, I have this situation here. Guide me. Show me. We're too busy. Off I'm running. Oh, this is the... Oh, it means this. And God is saying, your game is off. So, when they walked with Jesus, the disciples, they talked with him. They ate with him. They spent time with him. They learned his ways. They learned what he had to say. And then he could say to them, now that you're ready, I can send you to minister. But if you try to minister without having spent time with Jesus, you'll be frustrated. There will not be any results. So, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle John tells us the same thing. It says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also that you, so that you may have fellowship with us. Not relationship. We're already related through Jesus Christ. And it's important. A lot of people exchange these two words. And they're not the same. Relationship, I have relationship with members of my family. I may not be in fellowship with them. But I have relationship. We're all related. We all have people we dislike. We're still related. But we cannot have fellowship because of our differences. And so that's why it's important to understand this word. And then the Apostle John says, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So when Jesus, he called them first, and then he could send them out to preach. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any results. So, we know that the basis of Christianity is first relationship. Salvation comes through relationship with Jesus Christ. And so what's missing is communion with God. The Greek word for fellowship is kinonia, which is communion, which we're going to have at the end of the service. It's about sharing. It's about talking. So if you're married and you don't marry just to have a relationship with your wife, you better have some fellowship, because otherwise your game will be off. And also to listen and to be alone with God. It's a difficult in our days and in our time to have this fellowship with each other. We all have busy lives. We all have cell phones. We all have texting. We're texting the world and sending messages to other people and telling them things that nobody's really interested in, but we're so busy. I mean, sometimes you go to a restaurant and find four people sitting at the table and on their cell phones. And you say, so why do you guys come together? You're all in your own little world. But the Apostle John also, in his letter, he's trying to tell them, he says, we were there. We touched Jesus. We spoke to him. We were with him all the time. And because of that, they could go out and people would say, these people have been with Jesus. You remember the book of Acts. So it's so vital to connect with God and to listen to, he's waiting for us. That's the absurd thing, you know. God is saying, I want you to spend time with me. He says, I know you're related to me. I know you're my child. That will not change. But I want you to take the time to be with me. We have to organize our thoughts and plan our lives to give God this specific area of our lives. Because otherwise, everything we do is just, it's for nothing, because there's no, it doesn't produce anything. So the weakest element in our Christian life is the battle to be alone with Jesus. It's a constant battle. We have to discipline ourselves. We have to do something with our time, with our things, the demands of things that are crowding us. Because the enemy knows that if we have fellowship with God, he wants to block us. Because he knows that's where we're going to get the strength. That's where we're going to get the direction. So his purpose is to block this. When you spend time with Jesus, you get guidance, you get wisdom, you get direction, you get purpose. Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights with God, and he was totally changed. And even when he came down, people were just saying, stay away from us. Your face is shining so brightly. We're being convicted. And that's the whole purpose of having the fellowship with God, is to have an impact on the people around us. If we go into an environment and all of a sudden there's something that is against God and there's no reaction, it's like the devil says, this guy, I know, even though he's a Christian, he's irrelevant. Because we haven't been with Jesus. We haven't taken the time to be with Jesus. So our first priority is to be with him. Out of that, we'll be able to serve and be effective. John the Apostle writes, I write these things that to you that your joy might be complete. And a lot of Christians have no joy. Why? No fellowship. Don't spend time with God. Yes, they are related. We have a relationship with God, but it's no fellowship. No fellowship, no source of power. No purpose. Everything we do is just because the world tells us, do this and do that. Because we never spent the time to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do about this? So I'm thinking, as a result of not having, spending the time with God, what there's a saying that says, if you run around, you can get run down, and then you run away. Elijah, look at the life of Elijah. What happened to him? He was busy. We can all get busy doing things for God. Yes, God, I want to go there, and I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this. And God's saying, hold it. First, be with me. Take the time to hear what I have to say to you. It's so hard today to be able to open your Bible and to sit there and just wait. In our church, we have certain scriptures that we have to study, a chapter on John and Luke, and put it in front of you and say, Holy Spirit, I'm here. Teach me. Feed me. That's what happened to Elijah. He was so run down. He was so afraid of Jezebel that God had to take him away, and yes, the angel came and fed him every day just to strengthen him. And God is saying, you are my children. I want to spend time with you, and I want to tell you things, but you are so busy. You're answering all these text messages or whatever. You're not willing to sit down with me. And because then you can have intimate fellowship with God. Yes, we know God. We know everything about God from what we read in the Bible. But God says, the more you spend time you spend with me, the more you'll be effective. And then you'll get your game back. So, Elijah, he got discouraged. And God pulled him aside. And this morning, this is what the Holy Spirit wants to remind us. He wants to bring us to the place where he says, come with me. Spend time with me. Then you will get some answers to the things that are bothering you. So what happens when we are with him? Many people, feel uncomfortable to be with God by themselves. They feel like, I don't have much to say. Maybe I'm repetitive. I'm repeating myself. And is God really listening to what I'm saying? But God wants us to start to discipline our time with him. Like, for example, I get up in the morning and I spend 30 to 45 minutes. And as I pray for people that God brought across my path. I pray for people in this church. I pray for the people in the church I was in Regina. I have a whole list of people. And I bring them before God and I say, God, let your will be done in these people's lives and in these churches, that you help the pastors, many pastors that I know. Pray that God will continue to bless their calling and what he called them to do, to strengthen them. I don't know what the problems they're going through, but so that gives me the time to be with God and to tell him things. And I know that he hears. And so I started this prayer list and it just keeps growing. Every time I meet some people, I ask their name and all of a sudden my prayer. The other day, last month, we went visiting some friends here that came to a convention, and these missionaries that went to Germany, and the pastor of the Regina church, he said to me, can you pray for them while they're ministering? So I took their name down, and they're on my list. So if you don't know what to say to God, there's lots of things to say to God. Just the people that God brings in your path. Just think of the why he brings these people in your path. Why he brings those names. And also the other aspect of being alone with God is the fact that you can become, as you get closer and closer to God and you spend this time with God, he opens up to you. And he tells you things. And he tells you, it's like Abraham. Abraham is praying or bargaining with God. Why is he bargaining with God? Because the angels were going to go to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy the people there. But Abraham knew that his nephew was there. He didn't specifically specify Lot. But he was bargaining for the life of his nephew. So he was interceding for God. And it says, and God heard Abraham and saved Lot. Amen. Why did God hear Abraham? Because Abraham took the time to be with God. So when you have fellowship, intercession will be, God will bring to your mind the loved ones that run away or are astray. And then as you fellowship, it's beyond after eating together and drink and speaking and all that. Then God will say, so what do you want me to do for you? And that's when Abraham said, you dealt with it, 10 souls. You could have done better. But what the purpose is that God heard Abraham and rescued Lot. It says that in the book of Genesis. Lot was busy fighting the angels. When people that we pray for that are lost, they're fighting the angels. We are asking God for their salvation, and they are off doing their own thing. But that intimacy with God brings us into this place where God says, so what do you want me to do for you? I'm really happy that you are with me. What can I do for you? And this doesn't happen by just throwing up a prayer. This happens by spending the time continually fellowship. Fellowship is what's missing. That's why our game is off. That's why sometimes we don't see a lot of results. Because we want to have a relationship with God, but not fellowship. Big difference. So, intercession is a powerful thing when you make a connection with God. We all know of people that need to come to the Lord. Whether they ran away, whether they never know about Christ. I pray for my relatives in Australia. I pray for my Jewish brother. All that intercession. But I know it won't happen if I don't spend the time with God. It's not just a prayer coming out of my mouth. It's like Abraham basically entreated God. It's like Moses entreated God for the people. That doesn't come just by you just having a relationship. It comes when you really have deep, deep fellowship. And I have a friend of mine, sometimes he calls me and says, let's go have lunch. It's what we call it, a power lunch, because then we encourage each other. And you walk away from that lunch and say, wow, really good. That's fellowship. It's not just let's eat something and talk about nonsense. But we encourage each other. But that's what the power of fellowship is. And the Holy Spirit is so longing for us as believers. And also, it's not about, you won't get it by going to a conference. You won't get it by listening to a sermon. Even though the sermon is important because it kind of gives you a highlight of where you are in your spiritual walk, But you're supposed to feed yourself. Unfortunately, we are just like the Catholic Church. Priest, you tell us, and that's it. We're done. Sunday service is over. But that's not what God is saying. God is saying, you and I have to get together, and I want you to dig in the scriptures. That's what we're doing here. We're studying the chapters on John. It's not because the pastor has nothing else to do. He's just giving us direction, and we are supposed to do our homework. You don't have to do it. Nobody's going to twist your arm, but that will take your game off. That will throw off the basic, your calling. And you're missing your calling, so you're ineffective. And then you wonder, why am I ineffective? How come this guy is doing better than me? Because he takes the time to spend time with God. I know we're all equal at the cross, but Jesus is saying, I want you to get to know me individually. Each one of us has a calling to be with him, but also from there, God has a mission for each one of us of what we are to do with our lives. And to find that out, it's not somebody else who's going to come and tell us. It's the Holy Spirit. As I open my Bible and sit there and listen, God, what are you saying to me today? Or God, I have this situation. I need your guidance. What do I do in this situation? And it's not going to happen by me going to a conference or going here and going there or getting counseling. Although these things are important. But first, get fellowship with God, get guidance from God. Then you can go to counseling if you want. Because then you have something to work towards. So God says in his word, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you. And Jesus said, men ought always to pray and never give up. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. If you are you being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to his children who ask him? And how is it going to happen if you don't spend time with him? He's not going to send you an email and say there's money in your bank account. It has to happen with a conversation. So the good gifts that God gives us is because we take the time to be with him. We need to pray that because God is a recovers stolen property. He recovers what the enemy has stolen from us. It can be people we love. It can be different things. But God will recover it for us if we will take the time to hear what he has to say. It's not a coffee machine, you know. Just I put in my 5 cents worth of prayer, so God, you owe me. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Not in our own righteousness, we come in the mighty name of your Son Jesus, who said, when he cleared out the temple, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Not preaching, not teaching, not praise and worship. That all has its place, but a house of prayer. The world has yet to see the great things that you can do if we would just call on you. We're asking for great things. We're asking you to visit our loved ones, wherever they are and whatever they're doing. Speak to their heart, Lord. Bring them close to you. Remember the prayers that we've prayed. We're lifting up our hearts to you and we're praying. You told us to cry out to you and that you would answer. Come and help us when they come back. We will give you the glory and the praise. For we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.